Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, as we come before you, we look upon your grace and your mercy, and we pray that you speak to each and every one of us. Open our eyes and open our hearts towards you. Give us a listening ear. May your hand touch our lives, our hearts, and let us be changed before you. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Last time when I asked you a question, I asked, what is the goal? Do you have a goal in your life? What is your goal in your life? And then I talk about Paul. He said his goal is to please God and not to please men. And I want to move on from that. Now, I imagine this is my funeral today, and I wonder what people will talk about me. Someone may talk about me as a son, a brother, a husband, a father, a friend, a Christian. Someone may talk about my personality. Oh, he's a funny guy, a happy guy, or something like that. I don't know. Someone may talk about what I have achieved, but that would be very brief. I have not achieved many things. Someone, my friends, they will talk about, oh, he's very nice. Oh, talk about the good things I have done. Someone who doesn't like me, my enemies, they focus on my shortcoming, or my wrongdoings, my faults. So no matter what people look at me is not the real me, isn't it? You can only see a part of me. And what's important is how God, in his will, in his eyes, when he look at me, that is important. Now, let's think about David, King David, in the Old Testament. When you think of King David, how would you describe him? How would you describe him, Jeremy? He was a...
He's human.
Oh, obviously. Human and anything else? Anyone help her? Tiana?
A man of the golden heart.
That's a very good man of God's own heart. Tell me about more about him. Anyone? David? Sierra? Tell me a little bit more about King David. No, David's not. Joseph. Joseph, tell me about David. A king, warriors, actually, yes, king, warriors, and a shepherd. He write a lot of psalms. You can say he's a poet, and he's a musician as well. And when he first appeared in the Bible, it was recorded he was handsome young man, warriors, poet. I think he will attract a lot of ladies, isn't it? So we can think about all the good things about him. And can you think of, do you think he's a good husband? Not really. He committed adultery, isn't it? Do you think he's a good father? He didn't punish his son. Well, he should. And then one of his sons, called Absalom, got really angry with him. In his mind, he may think, my father is a stupid old man. He should do something about it. So look at the life of David. He has many identity or position, you can say, but he made mistakes as well in his life. But his whole life, what would God say about this man? Can we turn up to the Acts of the Apostles? Chapter 13, the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 13. Can we look at verse 36? Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 36. This is the NIV version. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. I really like this short phrase about David. He has served God's purpose in his own generation. He made mistakes. He has many. But when God talked about him, he said he served God's purpose in his own generation. Do you have a purpose? Do you serve your own purpose? Either you have no purpose in your life, or you have a purpose in your life. But in here, David is telling us here, David served, not his purpose, God's purpose in his own generation. I wonder, do you, when you think of a purpose, do you have a purpose in your life? Say, I want to be a doctor. I want to be an accountant. Now, there's nothing wrong with this. But how about God's purpose? Have you think about God has a purpose? Now, when you come to the church gathering or meeting, sometimes I have feelings like this. Just like some younger generation went to a nursing home, visiting the great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, listening to him telling about the stories, glorious old days in the past. And this old man has already retired, nothing to do. So when you come to the meeting, sometimes you listen to Bible stories. Abraham, 4,000 years ago. King David, 3,000 years ago. Jesus, his miracles, 2,000 years ago. As if we came and listened to very long time stories. And then after the meeting, we just go. Sometimes we come and try to see our great-great-great-grandfather, and then he will be pleased with us, seek his favor, and then he'll give his blessing to us, and then we go back to our world and struggle and work for our own purpose. As if God has nothing to do today. As if he has no purpose. God has retired. God is just like a retired old man, and you just came, seek his favor, ask for his blessing. When you come to a stage, I remember when I was a school teacher in Hong Kong many, many years ago, I got some students and they come to me. At that time, in the system, the Hong Kong education system, when you come to high school, then you have to decide, should I go to study science or should I go to study arts? And there are two young sisters came to me and asked me, should I study arts or should I study science? I'm good at both. What should I do? I should seek God's will. So to them, God's will is as if, should I choose this or should I choose that? As if they are asking for some advice from God. If I choose science, if this is God's will, I will be blessed. And then I will have success, and I will be, have good prospect. If I choose the wrong, if this is not God's will, I will encounter a lot of difficulties. So in their mind, God's will is make me. If I follow God's will, I will be prosperous. So that's sometimes when we seek God's will, it's not looking for what is in his mind, what is his plan, what is his purpose for this, what is the whole purpose of God. We are just thinking of God's guidance, leading us into a greater blessing. We want to have guarantee our success. So sometimes when we come before the Lord, as if we are treating him as a genie in the lamp, serving our purpose. How do you treat God? When you come before the God, do you seek His will, serve His will, or ask Him to serve your will? If you want to be a doctor, okay, give me some advice. Oh, I'm coming to examination. Help me, Lord. I didn't study well. Help me, help me. As if you are pulling God, asking God to help him to serve your own will. Or when you come before the Lord, Lord, what is your will? How do I serve your will in this generation? This is very important. Think of, we should all know that God has a purpose since creation, isn't it? So in every stage, he asked people, he called people to come and serve his will. When we go back, say, at the time of Moses, if you ask Moses, what is God's will? How can we serve his will? Then Moses will tell you, God has shown me that I have to lead all the Israelites. I have to lead them out of Egypt. I have to lead them out. So for Moses, he was very clear. God's purpose to him was to lead the people to leave Egypt. So if you are at the time of Moses, you should know, we should all follow Moses. We are God's people. We should leave Egypt. So Moses knows the purpose of God. He can see what God is doing. And he can follow and he can serve God's purpose in his life. Now, how about Joshua? When Moses was gone, Joshua came up to the lead. If you ask Joshua, what is God's will in here, in this generation? Joshua will tell you, it is obvious. God is leading us into the promised land. We shouldn't stay in the wilderness. Yes, there are plenty of battles ahead, but we should rely on God and possess the land. So to Joshua, it was really clear. If you ask him, if you are next to him, he will tell you what is God's purpose for them. Going into the promised land, possess the land. So if you come to David's time, if you ask David, what is God's will? What is God's will? Tell me what is God's will. Then David will tell you, obviously, God is building a kingdom. There are enemies, there are Philistines. We have to fight with them. Relying on God, build up a kingdom. So, for David, he has given us a lot of legacy. If you look at the First Chronicles, the last few chapters talk about what David has done. Not just fighting in the battles, he set up divisions for priests, gatekeepers, singers. He brought the whole nation into worshiping God. He prepared the temple for the Lord. So for King David in his mind, yes, God's will is not just setting me up as a king. God wants a people to worship him. So he spent a lot of effort preparing everything for bringing the people to worship God. So for King David, he knows what he is doing. How does he serve God's will? He prepared a nation to worship his king, his God. And remember, he writes a lot of psalms. In the book of Psalms 150, according to my memory, at least 74 were written by David. So he really brought the people, preparing the people to worship God. So if you ask David, what is your vision? Oh, the Lord has shown me I have to set up a kingdom, God's kingdom, to worship him. So David knew what he was doing at that time. And he has prepared everyone so that they can worship the King of Kings. Now, as history progressed, we know that Israelites rejected their God and they were taken captives. But some of the remnants, some of the people were called back. They went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the wall. So that's when we came to the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah, the book of Ezra, they all came back. So if you ask Nehemiah, if you ask Ezra, what is God's will? How can we serve God in this generation? Then they'll tell you, God was calling us to come back to Jerusalem. Why is that important? Because after that, when they come back to Jerusalem, after some time, then the Messiah will come. Otherwise, how can the Messiah be born in Bethlehem, isn't it? So for preparing the coming of the King, the coming of the Messiah, some people at that time, even though they may settle very well in Babylon, they have to travel back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and God's testimony over there. So if you study Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, the book of Haggai, the book of Malachi, talks about this time. So at that time, God's hand and God's words came to them. God's words came to the prophets. So Zechariah, Malachi, Haggai, they all received burdens, messages from the Lord, and they speak to the people to encourage the people how they can serve the Lord at that generation. Now, I want to have a look at the book of Ezra. Can we look at the Old Testament? Old Testament, the book of Ezra, chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 6. Chapter 7, verse 6. This Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. Now, just now in the beginning I was mentioned, God is still working. God has not retired. God's hand is busy. Look at here, God's hand is at work. In verse 6, God prepared a man called Ezra. Who is Ezra? He was a teacher well versed in the law of Moses. So the hand of the Lord was on Ezra, preparing this man. He knows the law of Moses. And the king had granted him everything he asked. So not only God prepared this man, who knows God very well, and he has got favor from the king. The king had granted everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord was on him. So Ezra, this book was Ezra, talking about Ezra, isn't it? So Ezra know that the Lord gave him the knowledge. The Lord has given him the situation. Now think about you. The Lord has prepared you. The Lord is preparing you for something. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The Lord prepared Ezra so that he can fulfill his work at that time. The reason why you are at school, the reason why you are doing your subjects, the reason why you are trained, has a purpose, because God is going to use you, your knowledge, to serve him. God has prepared Ezra. His hand is at work. Now look at chapter 7, verse 9. He had begun his journey from Babylon, is talking about Ezra, on the first day of the first month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. Now, I'm going to talk about many verses in Ezra. They all related with the hand of God. Okay, so in verse 9 we can see the gracious hand of his God was on him. So how he can travel from one place to another place because gracious hand of God is on him. So that's why he can travel from there to there. God's gracious hand. Now, I was not born in Australia. I was from Hong Kong. Even I came to Australia, I was not in Auburn. I was in somewhere else. Why would I come to here one day? God's gracious hand. Why would Ichu would come to here? God's gracious hand. Why would Rachel would come to here? God's gracious hand. It's by God's gracious hand we all gathered. Can you see the traveling? Is it coincidence? No, God's hand is at work. God prepared you. God prepared you. Where you studied, how you studied, it's for a purpose. And God brought all these people one day together. It's for God's purpose. Can we look at chapter 7, verse 28? Chapter 7, verse 28. Or 27, okay, start from 27. Praise be to the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way, and who has extended his good favor to me before the king and his advisors, and all the king's powerful officials. Why? Because the hand of the Lord, my God, was on me. I took courage and gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. So ask Ezra. Ezra is very clear. The reason that God trained me to be knowing his words, God bring me here from that can come to Jerusalem, and he can see God's gracious hand. Praise be to the Lord, verse 27, isn't it? He has put it into the king's heart. He can see God's hand is working, changing the people's heart around him. And 28, and who has extended his good favor to me before the king and his advisors and all the king's powerful officials. So he can see God's hand, not just on him, but on everyone around him. Is it just to fulfill his purpose? No. God is building up his testimony. So at that time, Ezra, why would God bring Ezra back to Jerusalem? He was going to teach the people God's words. So not just preparing timber for the building of God's temple or stones for building of the wall. These people need God's word in their life. So God was preparing people. God prepared gathering all the important one he needs for his purpose at that generation. So what I want to tell you is, dear brothers and sisters, we are gathered not because of our purpose. We came to the meeting not just to listening to some old stories. God has retired, his hand is not working. No, God's hand is still at work, preparing you now, preparing us together to do his work in this generation. Can we look at chapter 8, verse 18? Chapter 8, verse 18. Because the gracious hand of our God was on us, they brought us Sherebiah, a capable man from the descendants of Mali, son of Levi, blah, blah, blah. So God's hand is gathering different people. He can see not God's hand not only on him, on the king and the officials, granting them favor, and gathering different brothers and sisters, in our terms, calling all these vessels to do his will. So may God open our eyes to see how He is working today around you. Chapter 8, verse 22. Chapter 8, verse 22. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road, because we had told the king, the great gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to Him, but His great anger is against all who forsake Him. So in the eyes of Ezra, he can see, we don't need people protection. I can see God's gracious hand is upon us. So that's why he said, he was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers to protection. So he has great faith. Why? Because he, in his eyes, he was seeing God's hand all the time around him, helping him to do his work. Do you see God's hand on you? Do you see God's hand on brothers and sisters? Preparing us, not for our will, but for His purpose, for His will. Let's move on to 8:31. 8:31, on the 12th day of the first month, we set out from Ahava Canal to go to Jerusalem. The hand of our God was on us. So again, it's similar thing. The hand of God is on us. Now, if we turn back to the next book, Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. How about Nehemiah? Let's see what he can see. And may, chapter 2, verse 8, and may I have a letter to Asaph, king of, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. So for Nehemiah, he can see the king. The king say yes, providing him the timber. Why? Because the God's gracious hand is upon him. And in chapter 2, verse 18, so there were elders gathering together. So in verse 18, I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king has said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. So Nehemiah can tell the elders in Jerusalem about that time, the gracious hand of God upon me and what the king has said to me. So for those who are living with a purpose, they can see God's gracious hand on him. It's not they deserve. God has a plan. God has a will. Can you see that? In John chapter 5, verse 17, can we look at John chapter 5? John chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. So God has not retired. God is not retired, old man, telling you old stories. As if he has nothing to do today. As if he has nothing for us to do today. God has a purpose for you. God has prepared you to come to Australia. God has led you to come to here. And there's something waiting for us to do for Him. Are you prepared? Have you prepared yourself? Are you serving His purpose? Or are you serving your own purpose? So God's hand is not just for provision. God's hand is not just for guidance or protection. And I have to remind everyone, God's hand is also for chastisement, discipline, to bring us back to live for His will. So if we do not see what God's doing, as if we just live a carefree life, just enjoying ourselves, how would God describe our life? Do you see what God's doing now? Do you see? Do you have a vision to see what God's doing today? If you really see what God's trying to do today, have you committed yourself to what His purpose is? Otherwise, you don't have a mission on earth. Do you have a mission here? Ask Moses, do you have a mission? Yes. God is using me to bring people to leave Egypt. Ask Joshua, do you have a mission? What do you see? He can answer you. God is using me to bring these people into the promised land. Ask Ezra, ask Nehemiah. They can tell you clearly what God is trying to do. What is their mission? To rebuild the temple, to rebuild the testimony. What is your mission today? Do you see God's hand? Do you see God's purpose in your life? Are you responding to that mission? If you have no vision, you don't know where you are going, don't know what God is trying to lead us, then you have no mission. You are just wasting time on earth. No vision, no mission. Life on earth seems just like a vacation, isn't it? You just spend time. Oh, enjoy life. Oh, nice food. Nice place. Just like a vacation. No responsibility. No. I want more than this in my life. I want a mission in my life. I don't want to finish my life and I admire what David, how it described David. David served God's purpose in his generation. Serve God's purpose. Can I say one day, oh Moses, can I say Moses served God's purpose in 2017, in his generation. Can I say that? Or when describe us just a vacation, our whole life is just for fun, vacation. Why are you here? How do we please God? If you ask Lord Jesus, why do you come? Why do you come on earth? Can we look at Hebrews? The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. No matter what version you have, can we read this together, all together? Ready? Here we go. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. So if you ask Lord Jesus, why are you here? He will say to you, here I am. Here I am. I have come to do your will, O God. Can you say something similar? Here I am in this generation, 2017. Why are you here? Here I am. Why are you here in Auburn? Here I am. Why are you gathering with the people around you? Here I am. Here I am. In 2017. Can you look back in your life? Think about your life. Think about your family. Think about how you come to here. It's not by chance. God has prepared you. God has been leading you to come here for this generation to do His will. So would this be your prayer before Lord? Here I am. I have come to do your will. Just like David. He served God's will in his generation. Would this be our life? That has a purpose? Do we see God's hand in us? If later on we have time of fellowship, can you see how God's hand appoints you? Remember how you were baptized? How you were saved? How the Lord has dealing with you? Your failure? You fall? How God has comforted you? How God has brought you back? Remember, all this have a purpose. It's not just for today. It's for the will of God. Can you say to the Lord, here I am. I have come to do your will. Let not my life be wasted as if no purpose, no mission. I'm here for a mission. Yes, I may be a student. Yes, today I may be whatever job you have. But in your heart, there's always one thing. In your heart, there's always the will of God. In your heart, you can always see the purpose of God. So may the Lord speak to you. How would you answer to His hand upon you? Can you see the gracious hand of God upon you? And how would you respond to His work? How would you respond to Him? Not to me. In fact, a few weeks ago, I was preparing to share something else. But suddenly, within these 3 weeks, the Lord has put this in my heart. Because I was sharing with a brother that, it seems that we live a very carefree life. We have no purpose. No mission in our life. I feel that we are just on vacation. Coming together, coming to a nursing home, listening to old stories, and then we go home. And when we have difficulty, God bless me, God help me, that's it. God is there ready to serve us. God is always there ready to serve my will. Or are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we committed to serve His will? I cannot answer this question for you. You have to answer to God, yourself. You may go home and pray about this. Lord, show me your hand. Show me how to serve your will in here, in this generation. God is still working. Jesus said, my Father is working. I am working. Are you on holiday? No. May the Lord speak to us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray that we will be changed. And you show us your will and teach us how to serve your will in our life. We pray that we are not just seeing your hand, but we'll be committed to what you have shown us. We pray that our life will have a mission to serve your will. as we remember how the Lord responded to you. Here I am, I have come to do your will, O God. We pray that we'll live a purposeful life to serve your will. We pray the Holy Spirit will touch our hearts. Prepare us, Lord, to serve your will. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.